Hunger strikes by Palestinian prisoners held in administrative detention inside Israel are nothing new, but extended hunger strikes undertaken in 2011 and this year have garnered more media attention in the U.S. than previous prison campaigns. The latest hunger strikes were undertaken to demand an end to harsh restrictions put in place after Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit was taken prisoner in 2006 by members of Hamas and held in Gaza for 5 years. But even after a deal was struck last October for Shalit's release in exchange for more than 1,000 Palestinian prisoners, the onerous conditions in Israeli prisons remained in place. Restrictions included the prolonged isolation of prisoners, a ban on visits from family members from Gaza and some from the West Bank, and the exclusion of reading and academic study materials. Hunger strikers also demanded an end to administrative detention, where many Palestinian prisoners were held without charge or trial for a set period, often to be rearrested upon their release. Risking damage to their health and even death, individuals carried out hunger strikes ranging from 66 to 77 days. Many now face severe health challenges as they recover. All told, 1,500 prisoners participated in the hunger strike from early spring to mid-May. An agreement between the hunger strikers and Israeli authorities was announced on May 14th. Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus spoke with Sahir Francis, a human rights lawyer and director of Adamar, the Prisoner Support and Human Rights Association based in Ramallah in the West Bank. She describes what concessions were won by the hunger strikers and the effectiveness of nonviolent resistance to the Israeli occupation.
Of course, the prisoners, they were using all the time since the beginning of the occupation, the hunger strike as one tool of their resistance inside the prison when they fail to guarantee their basic rights through negotiations with the prison authorities. And it was their method in the past to guarantee the basic rights that they got as prisoners. And actually, in the last years, since the beginning of the Second Intifada, we can say, there's a big retreat in all these rights. The prison authorities started to impose more restrictions and commit more violations against the prisoners till the case of Shalit, the arrest of Shalit, and then things were deteriorating seriously, actually. And this is what led the prisoners in this time to demand, firstly, not the political demands that they were always putting there, connecting it to the end of the occupation and their release, but this time they were concentrating more on the humanitarian aspect of their imprisonment, the conditions, the daily conditions and the life conditions and their dignity in the prisons. And of course, it doesn't mean that they forget or they undermine the main issue, because as well the whole activities, the local civil society action that was supporting the Prisoners Act was all the time putting this issue of the prisoners with the big context of the occupation, that the release of all the prisoners should come with the end of the occupation, of course, and the issue of the prisoners is part of all the question of the occupation, and you cannot do negotiations, for example, without solving the issue of the prisoners. So I think it's very important part in the civil society movement and in the public struggle against the occupation. It was joint as well with, for example, the activism against the wall and the settlements. In most of the demonstrations, the weekly demonstrations that takes place, they were supporting the prisoners' case in the time of the hunger strike, and they were requesting to respect the demands of the prisoners and to free all the political prisoners.
Sahar Francis, was there a demand to get rid of administrative detention altogether? Was that ever on the table?
Actually, this was a complicated, problematic issue, because in the agreement, we never get a document of the written agreement. And at the end, it was an agreement between the Egyptian mediators and the Israeli side. The administrative detention, it was not ending the whole use of administrative detention, but rather limiting and using the administrative detention just in a very serious security issues, and not to extend the detention if they don't have a very serious information. Because, you know, the administrative detention is built on secret information, and Israel is using it in a very wide way, and this is why we claim that this is arbitrary detention. It's not illegal according to the international law, of course. The Fourth Geneva Convention gives some space for the occupiers to use administrative detention or arrest without a trial, but there's lots of restrictions in the international law that Israel is not limiting itself to it when practicing the administrative detention. But unfortunately, from the last 2 weeks, tens of detainees that their detention was extended and their administrative detention, and the new detainees that they were transferred for administrative detention. So we are not sure that Israel really is restricting the use of administrative detention as it was agreed in the agreement in the hunger strike time.
Do the Palestinian prisoners, and does your organization, Adamir, that supports these prisoners' rights, consider this latest hunger strike a success?
It was a good result, and we look at it as a good achievement for the prisoners' movement. But still, as I said before, we have to monitor and to be following closely how this agreement would be implemented, because we can't trust fully the Israeli side that really they will fulfill all the demands without any problems. And this is why we are still monitoring closely what's going on.
That was Sahir Francis of Adamar, the Palestinian Prisoners' Rights Organization. Find links to additional information on the Palestinian hunger strike and Israeli prison conditions on our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.